Well, you can take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 17, to be exact. 2 weeks ago, I shared on something at Point Loma Assembly called The Word of God Lives On. Wonderful subject that we began to develop. It was all about looking forward to the future in terms of what God has in store for the continued movement of His Word. I opened up with a statement by Dr. Victor Paul Werwell, and I think I thought I would just read it to you again, kind of get things rolling here. And he said, "I see my life beyond today and tomorrow. I see my life from generation to generation, causing the mystery to be lived. History has honored great men and women throughout time for their deeds, for their contributions to society, for the nations they have conquered, for the scientific discoveries they have made, for the contests they have won. Those achieving the highest distinction have received medals hung around their necks, parades held in their honor, buildings named after them, and recognition in halls of fame. A far greater honor remains, however, than the awards and accolades men can bestow. The highest authority decrees the greatest homage. God Almighty will confer the crowns of highest award to those who have truly distinguished themselves in His eyes when they stand before Him someday. In that day, men will not be decorated for winning military battles, building empires, saving the environment, or winning ball games. Our God has reserved His esteemed tribute for those individuals who have disciplined themselves and dedicated themselves to rightly dividing the word of truth, and who have sacrificed their lives to serve the bread of life to mankind. He also commands His people today to likewise give honor to whom honor is due." Wonderful, wonderful statement. And you know, after that, I mentioned that a set of challenges, especially in the younger generation, has kind of come up in recent years, specifically with regard to the evolution of technology. And I'll let you be the judge as to what that means. But I say that in preparation of what is actually needed to keep the movement of God's Word in action. So here we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. And I'm going to read to you verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So, obviously, we've all heard of this mustard seed faith, small yet powerful enough to move mountains. Actually, I think we looked at something like that not long ago, but tonight I want to share a different image. Turns out that the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed in the world, at least at today's present moment. The smallest seed in the world is the orchid flower seed. The orchid seed is among the tiniest seeds in the world, smaller than a grain of sand, often weighing less than 1/1000th of a gram. And it contains no endosperm, and that means no food reserve. It cannot grow on its own. It must rely on a connection to something greater, just like us. And yet, from this speck of something that kind of seems insignificant, if it's placed in the right hands and in the right environment, it blooms one of the most intricate and stunning flowers that God has ever created. Okay? So the orchid seed is tiny yet filled with potential. And though smaller than most seeds and almost invisible to the naked eye, the orchid seed carries within it the code for beauty beyond imagination. The world might dismiss it, but the Creator of the heavens and the earth has designed it with purpose. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. And it's another section of scriptures here about the mustard seed. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So, it's easy to see, or it's easy to feel like that your faith isn't enough, but the truth is that God never asks for perfect faith, only genuine faith. And orchid faith, as I'm going to call it, says, Lord, I have nothing in me unless you breathe life into me. And he does. Okay? Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 3. And Isaiah 42 assures us, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. God never despises small beginnings. If you feel weak, invisible, or overlooked, remember the orchid seed. It only seems small, okay? But in God's hands, it carries divine beauty waiting to be revealed. And the orchid seed, unlike other seeds, cannot grow by itself. It lacks the nutrients to grow independently. It must attach to something else, particularly something called, I've got it written here, the type of fungus that helps it break open and receive nourishment. Okay? Can't really pronounce the term here, but without this partnership with this type of fungus, the seed can never sprout. Okay? And John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Okay? Just like the orchid seed, our faith must be attached to Christ. Okay? Alone we are dust, but with him we bloom. Orchid faith, orchid seed faith, recognizes that it cannot sustain itself. It needs something greater. It cries out to God, not just for answers, but for connection, knowing full well that life only flows when we're in union with Christ. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:7. It says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, the growth, the change, the blooming, it's all in God's work. All we must do is to trust and stay connected with the Father. Okay? Here's my next point, and this might be interesting to you. The orchid flower, the orchid seed, takes years to bloom, but it's worth the wait. You know, some orchid species take 5 to 7 years to flower. They may sprout quietly underground or in the shadows of the forest before ever showing their completely grown cells. Their process is long hidden and seemingly slow, but when the time is right, they shine. I'm going to read to you Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." See, we live in a world where everybody wants to see results now. We live in a world of instant gratification. But God grows things deeply and not quickly. Or conceit faith is patient faith. It doesn't give up when nothing seems to be happening. It doesn't get discouraged during the underground seasons. As a matter of fact, that's when the most growth happens to take place many times. Because just because you don't see fruit right away, that doesn't mean God isn't working. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." And you know what? Sometimes promises take time. But just like the orchid, when your faith finally blossoms, the fragrance of God's faithfulness will fill every corner of your life. Okay? Here's another cute little point I want to make. The orchid thrives in difficult places. Okay? Orchids are known for growing in unexpected and even harsh environments. They often cling to trees high above the ground or live on cliffs and in places like rainforests. Their roots actually hang in the air, absorbing water from humidity. They're delicate in appearance, but they're resilient in structure. And I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Faith doesn't grow best in comfort. It actually grows better in times of difficulty. Orchid seed faith endures storms, clings to the rock, and draws strength from heaven when nothing else sustains it. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." God uses different things to make our roots strong and our beauty undeniable. Because your storm may feel like it's breaking you, but in God's plan, it's shaping you. Just like the orchid seed. You may feel like your faith is as small and fragile as an orchid seed, unable to stand on its own, but that's exactly where God starts his greatest work, because your job is to not make yourself grow. Your job is to stay connected, to trust, and to wait on the Father. Just like no orchid blooms overnight, you might not see everything God is doing in your life all at the same time. But in time, in his timing, you sure will. I'm going to close in Isaiah chapter 61 here. Isaiah 61. Verse 3. particularly at the end of this verse here. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God is not finished with any of our stories, and your faith, no matter how small, no matter how dependent, no matter what kind of things you're going through, is always going to be enough for God's hands, okay? So let's pray. We'll wrap this thing up. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege we have to be a part of your family, to be your sons and daughters. I pray for each heart on the line tonight that you keep our seeds planted, Father. And we're just so blessed to be a part of your family. I pray this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.